I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on Source, 4 city council seats and the mayor's office are still unresolved after the May municipal election, so there are runoffs on June 7th. Today on The Source, we're hearing from the two candidates for District 6, which includes San Antonio's far west side, a fast-growing part of the city, and an area with a lot of needs. A mere 28 votes separated the surviving candidates, Kelly Ann Gonzalez and Rick Galvan. The candidates are running for the seat soon to be vacated by Councilmember Melissa Cabello-Javeda. You can ask the candidates your questions about their vision and priorities for D6 and the city. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio's municipal runoff election is June 7th, and there are 4 unresolved city council races and the mayor's race. TPR's The Source is hosting live on-air debates for all the races, and today we're able to hear from the two candidates for District 6, Kellyanne Gonzalez and Rick Galvan. The objective of the hour is to have a civil exchange of ideas and solutions that will help the listener voter understand which candidate best represents their views and priorities. Candidates are encouraged to talk about themselves and their own vision for San Antonio. Candidates who do try to disparage the other candidate or characterize their opponent's positions will be redirected on air. Their time will be cut, and the opponent will be given an opportunity to respond. We are taking calls from listeners. Calls can be screened, and the callers are prompted to ask issue-focused questions that are available to be answered by either of the candidates. And our format is we have two-minute opening statements. We go to questions and answers, and the candidates have 2 minutes to respond. All the answers are timed, and if the candidate exceeds that time, we ring a bell. The candidates will alternate who goes first with these questions, and then there is a one-minute closing at the end of the hour. We did flip a coin earlier to establish who goes first with the opening statements, and that went to Rick Galvan. He decided you're going second, and so we're going to Kelly Ann Gonzalez goes first with the opening statement.
Yes. Thank you so much for having us here today. My name is Kellyanne Gonzalez. I am a labor organizer, small business owner, and lifelong resident of District 6. I was actually born and raised right off of Acme Road. I attended Stafford Elementary, and then my parents moved us up the road to Marbach and Military, where I went to Anson Jones Middle School, graduated from John Jay High School, very proud of that. So this is my home. I am District 6, born and raised here, lived here my whole life. And in my own personal capacity as a labor leader, I led the charge to overturn a 74-year political gag rule on our city employees. And through that process, I got to know Councilwoman Melissa Cabello-Javeda, which is my current councilwoman. We worked very closely together to ensure that Proposition D got on the November ballot. It passed with 63% of the vote. And because of the work that her and I did together, I am very proud to have her endorsement in this race. It means a lot to me because she's not just trusting me with her endorsement, but with her vote as well, because she is also a District 6 resident. So I'm very happy to be here today, very happy to share my vision for a prosperous future for everybody in District 6 as the fastest growing district in the city, ensuring that we are not leaving any communities or neighborhoods behind while we continue to have that growth. Thank you.
All right, Rick Galvan, you have 2 minutes for an opening statement.
Yeah, thank you, David, and thank you to TPR for hosting this important conversation today. My name is Rick Galvan, and I am running for San Antonio City Council, District 6. District 6 is my home. I was born and raised in the Piper's Meadow neighborhood in District 6. My family came from the inner west side of San Antonio. My mom is a lifelong educator and currently works at Northside ISD as a public school teacher in District 6, teaching preschool. And my dad served in the Air Force moving from the Air Force then into civil service, working as a mechanic at Lackland Air Force Base, then Kelly, then Randolph Air Force Base as well. And it's because of his service that my family was able to afford to purchase the home that I grew up in the Piper's Meadow neighborhood, and where I've now been able to serve as neighborhood association president for the community that raised me. Currently, I work at City Council in Office District 5 as Director of Special Projects, working to deliver constituent services for residents, making sure that we are working with neighborhoods directly to address issues of loose dogs, make sure the stop signs are where we need to put them, the speed bumps are there in the neighborhood when we need them, as well as working in policy, making sure that we are also delivering policies as well as overseeing programs at City Council that support our working families. And so I'm running for City Council District 6 because with my experience growing up in the district, serving as a neighborhood leader, as well as delivering for residents while working at City Hall, that I believe that together we can build a San Antonio that is a safe, affordable, and quality place to live in for all of our folks. Especially as our city continues to grow, it's important that we leave no neighbor behind, that we put our working families first every step of the way, and that we continue to move in a prosperous direction for all of our neighborhoods.
All right, now we go to our question and answer portion of our debate. And Rick Ovan, you're going to be getting the first opportunity to answer. So the West Side, District 6, fastest growing area, as we just heard, in Bexar County, in San Antonio, fastest growing city council district. How would you ensure that the infrastructure like roads, drainage, sidewalks keeps up with the development?
Yeah, thank you for the question. Infrastructure is a big issue, not only for the district, but of mine as well, too. When running this campaign, it was one of our top priorities that we make sure we talk with the neighbors about. And something that we've heard from neighbors, too, is talking about sidewalk gaps, talking about drainage issues, especially as the floodplain is expanding in our district, talking about unsafe streets as well, not only for drivers, but also for pedestrians, cyclists, and bus riders alike. And so one of the big ways that I want to make sure that we continue to do that investment into addressing those infrastructure gaps is, one, of course, looking at the 2027 bond to make sure that we have a robust bond package similar to the one that we did in 2022 that addresses some of these key needs. Beyond that, it's looking at ways that we can use our city budget in a more efficient way to make sure that we're streamlining some of these projects together and working with the Transportation Department, Public Works Department, and the Planning Department to really identify ways to address these issues in the long term and not do a piecemeal project. And then also using our City Council NAP dollars, right, making sure that the City Council budget that are able to really stretch some of these infrastructure dollars and make sure that we are meeting every project where we can with all the dollars that we have, not leaving anything on the table. Those are some of the ways that I think is really important that we are able to really meet these needs. And so, too, is making sure that with the equity budgeting lens, that we keep that in place so that our neighborhoods, especially folks in the inner west side of San Antonio and in District 6, aren't left behind in this work, but instead are prioritized to really get this funding and get the basic infrastructure they need so then we can move together as a district to really get all the quality infrastructure that we all deserve.
All right. And Kellyanne Gonzalez, what to do about the fast growth in the area, keeping up with the infrastructure needs, roads, drainage, sidewalks?
I think that the answer to that question is ensuring that we are keeping a balance with our new development and making sure that our neighborhoods that have been historically left behind are also seeing that investment, because we still have many parts of District 6 that need sidewalks. I myself lived within the 2-mile radius of John Jay High School, and so I could not take a bus. And I had to walk to school, and I actually had to walk down Military to Marbach without a sidewalk. And so many times I showed up to school with mud on my shoes, with mud on my pants, because the other alternative to walking in the mud was walking on Military, which was just not a possible thing. And so we need to make sure that we are making all of our neighborhoods that were left behind equitable, making sure that people in that part of District 6 have access to sidewalks, have access to safe roads. And I will tell you, during my time block walking, I knocked on the door and I talked to somebody that was an EMS worker. And she told me that potholes were a major concern for EMS workers. One, when they're having to respond to a call to a neighborhood that has a lot of potholes. And two, once they have somebody in the back of that ambulance, it makes it incredibly difficult for them to do CPR, to start an IV, when they have to go through all those potholes. And so I used to think about potholes in terms of being a nuisance, but I had never considered them being a life or death for people. And I don't want that for myself. I don't want that for my loved ones. So we need to ensure that our neighborhoods that have been left behind are getting that infrastructure development while balancing that new development that we are getting. Because, you know, part of the reason that our older neighborhoods don't have those complete sidewalks, don't have those complete streets, is because the codes have changed. So new development pops up in the district. They get all the sidewalks. They get all the curbs. They get all the ramps. And so we need to make sure that it's balanced.
All right, let's go to a caller. Our number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, if you got a question for our candidates. And Rachel, you're on the air. Rachel, go ahead, and Kellyanne Gonzalez will be answering your question first. Go ahead.
Thank you. What is the plan each of you have to provide the many deaf residents in District 6 with equal employment consideration by the city of San Antonio so that they too will be represented in the city workforce? Thank you.
All right, Rachel, thank you for that question. People who have hearing impaired, what can we do to help them, you know, provide public services, you know, public safety issues, consider them in all manners in San Antonio, particularly in jobs in the city? And so, Kellyanne Gonzalez.
I think that's a wonderful question. Thank you for asking, Rachel. The reality is we still have a lot of language barriers in the city. As a labor organizer for the labor union for city employees, I was the only staff member that actually spoke Spanish. And so there were several instances in which city workers that primarily spoke Spanish were not giving access to HR representatives that also spoke Spanish. And so we still struggle within our city to have equitable language access. And so that's one of the reasons that actually pushed me to run. As a daughter of parents that come from Mexico, it was extremely disappointing to see that we are still treating some workers in this city as second-class citizens, essentially, just because they don't fluently speak English. And so we need to keep addressing those concerns within our city departments, within our employment, to make sure that every single person that wants to work in the city has that ability, that language is not a barrier to that. I want to make sure that we have actual policies in place for people that speak a variety of different languages, including American Sign Language, and that we have those interpreters available to them at every step in that process.
All right, Rick Oven, you have 2 minutes for the same question. How do we provide adequate, equal services for the city of San Antonio for people who are hearing impaired?
Yeah, so there's a couple different ways that we can go about it, because it's not going to take just a one solution. It's got to be a multi-pronged way. And one of the ways that I think about it is working with the Office of Equity and the Office of Disability Access in our city of San Antonio to make sure that they're continuing to work with our city departments to really not only understand what these different populations will need, whether it is folks who are hearing impaired or folks who experience vision impairment or other pieces too, but that those offices can work well together with our city departments to make sure that they're up to code and up to speed on with what's expected and what things that they can make sure that they can accommodate folks with, as well as making sure that we are doing the staffing expansions where we need them to have the language interpreters that we need in each of the departments that we can have them in, or have people more responsive and more active to assist with this kind of work throughout our city departments. Beyond that, too, I think a lot about working with the Disability Advisory Committee. While working at City Council District 5, I got really close to our appointee to that, Andre Green, who is an incredible advocate for disability rights. And one of the things that he was really working hard on was working with different nonprofits in our city that really focused on this kind of work and making sure that we connect them with our city to really build up not only the skills, but the confidence of folks who have different disabilities, including hearing impairments, including voice impairments and other kinds of disabilities, to not only seek the jobs, but to secure the jobs and to have the support all the way through. And so finding ways to do mentorship programs with that is a really important way for me, a really important way that I think will be help with that, along with expanding our ready-to-work program to kind of bring folks into the city to give them some real on-the-ground experience. So that way, when they're finished going through the ready-to-work program, they also are able to say, you know, I was actually able to do this work before, and so my disability is not something that you can discount me for. It's a part of me that is going to be expected and should be accepted, and it has not held me back at all from having a job with the city of San Antonio.
All right. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're having a runoff debate with the candidates for District 6, Kellyanne Gonzalez and Rick Galvan. They're vying to fill the seat being vacated by Melissa Cabello-Javera. On Monday, we're going to be joined by the candidates for mayor, Gina Ortiz-Jones and Rolando Pablos. Early voting for the runoff begins on Tuesday, May 27th, and continues through June 3rd, with Election Day on June 7th. San Antonio District 6 covers much of the city's far west side, includes neighborhoods like Marbach, Heritage, and portions of Highway 151 and Loop 410. It's a fast-growing area with a mix of working-class neighborhoods, new developments, and infrastructure challenges. If you've got a question for the candidates, You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And so, Rick Galvan, you're going to get this question first. You have 2 minutes to answer. So what is your plan for attracting good-paying jobs to District 6 without displacing existing communities?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. We know that our city is growing, so too is our economy, and we're facing some different shortfalls from national trends and international trends too that are really impacting our local economy. But so one of the ways that I look at growing our local economy and making sure that we're attracting good businesses or good jobs in our community is, one, making sure that we're supporting our small businesses, right? A lot of these small businesses in District 6 and throughout our city are people who are from our city who want to help their neighborhoods in some form or fashion or help their communities that they came from by providing some sort of service, some sort of business opportunity for folks, and also tend to hire locally too. And so making sure that those small businesses are able to really make ends meet, not impacted by construction projects or other kind of city services, but instead are benefited from these pieces is really important to me. Beyond that, it's looking at working with labor unions across our city to really help develop community benefit agreements with some of the large developments and large subsidies that we're giving to maybe some of the largest corporations that are coming to our city to make sure that we have really good quality paying jobs and good benefits too for our workers here in our city. I think that's something that has to be really thought about is that as a city, if we're attracting more businesses to come here, especially large ones, we want to make sure that they're coming here to pay our folks a good living wage, making sure they're paying or providing good benefits to our folks here. And so that's one of the other key ways. The last one is making sure that we're investing in our public schools and our education system from pre-K all the way through to college. Making sure that our folks have high quality education is going to be really important, no matter what part of the city they live in, no matter what zip code they come from. It's making sure that they have quality public education to really get the educational skills that they need, certifications, the degrees, without many barriers in the way, so they can actually access these good-paying jobs. Because when we bring some of these good-paying jobs here, they usually have some really high educational requirements that some of our folks don't have. Not that they can't do the job, but they don't have the qualification technically to work. And so I think that's going to be a couple different ways: supporting our small businesses, investing in good-paying jobs with our local labor unions, and investing in our public education system.
All right. Kelly and Gonzalez, what would you do to bring good-paying jobs to District 6?
I think the question is really, what are we going to do to bring good-paying jobs to all of San Antonio? It's not just District 6 that needs good-paying jobs. And the fact of the matter is that San Antonio gets overlooked by a lot of businesses because of our consistent rate of poverty and because of our low education rates. And so a lot of the companies that we attract are companies that want a poor, uneducated workforce. And so we really, as a city, need to make sure that we are investing in our K-12 education. You know, voters approved pre-K for SA. Voters approved our Ready to Work program. Why do we not have anything that is investing in our K-12 education system, especially as it's being under attack federally, especially as it is being defunded even at the state level, right? And so I think as city officials, it is our job to make sure that our schools are getting the resources and the funding that they deserve and filling in those gaps. But first, we need to be able to identify what those gaps and what those needs in our schools are. So I have actually released a policy. It's called Teach Here, Thrive Here. You can find it on my website, votekellyanne.com. Because the other part of that puzzle is we need to make sure that we are investing in our educators so that they stay in our school districts, so that they can become better every single year and just improve in the way that they are educating our children. And so we need to make sure that we are investing in our educators, and that means making sure that they are able to buy homes in the school districts that they are teaching so that they have that investment and that long-term planning to stay with us. And the other part of that too, I actually had an education roundtable with educators a couple of weeks ago, and one of the things that they brought up was, yes, not only do they need mental health resources, but their healthcare is exorbitantly expensive at our schools. And so I know that this seems like a very long-term solution, but the reality is if we don't do something about the rate of our education in our city, we are never going to be that city that shines through and attracts those high-quality, good-paying jobs.
All right, let's go to a question from a listener, a caller, and you can call in with your question for the candidates Kellyanne Gonzalez and Rick Galvan, District 6, 833-877-8255. And Anthony, thanks for calling in. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, y'all. Thanks for taking my question. With the recent discussions about Project Marvel, specifically about the issues of transparency, there's been calls for a change of relationship between council and the city manager. How will you, you know, do you plan to change, do you plan to treat the city manager differently, or how do you plan to work forward in, under our current system? Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. So, Kellyanne Gonzalez, can you take that? 2 minutes.
Yeah. So, in our city of San Antonio, we have what is called a strong manager system. So our city manager is actually one that runs the day-to-day operations in our departments and also does a lot of the hiring of our department directors. And so while the city manager is the person that is driving the carriage, so to say, of the city, it is on the city council and the mayor to tell him which direction he needs to steer that carriage. And so I see a really great opportunity with having four-year terms to ensure that the people that are actually elected by the voters of San Antonio are the ones that are making those decisions in which direction the carriage should be steering, in which priorities the city needs to be addressing, and most importantly, where our funding is going, because that is our number one job as city council members, is deciding what to do with our $4.4 billion of taxpayer money. And so I look forward to working with our current city manager. As you know, one of the propositions that was passed last year was eliminating the term limits and the pay caps on our city manager. So at this moment, you know, our city manager can stay for an indefinite amount of time as long as he is listening to the direction that council wants to take our city into. Thank you.
All right. And now, Rick Galvan, you have 2 minutes to talk about how you would work with the city manager.
Yeah, no, I will say that for the question around Project Marvel and those transparency issues, it's really been a shame that a lot of the facts that we've been learning more about this project have been coming slowly and slowly and slowly out to the public, but we know it's going to be coming from a lot of our public tax dollars. And so it's been frustrating to see that that wasn't a bit more communicated, not only to city council members, but to the general public as well, more thoroughly and earlier on. And I think that's kind of the work that we need to change overall with some of the city processes. Of course, we have to understand that there are going to be those conversations that need to be had to really hash out some of those details in the back end. But we also want to make sure that we're not leaving our public out. And so, you know, that means making sure that our city changes kind of some of its practices of, instead of saying, here's a project, what do y'all think, is looking at our communities and saying, you know, we identified some gaps here, we identified some potential solutions. What do you think about these potential solutions? And do you have other ones that you maybe want to see? So bringing city management out to our communities is really important, and being able to have worked at city council, I've been able to work with some of the city management offices and work well with them and making sure that the committees were getting done well, that our agenda items were getting on there to really address the issues in our communities that our city council offices were looking at, ranging from mental health concerns, utility concerns. And so I'm really proud of that relationship that we have been able to have. But I think it's really repairing the image with the public is going to be the most important part. And so long as the city management continues to be effective and responsive to the needs of the communities as well as the needs of the council members, then I think we're in a good spot. But as those tides shift and we find points of contention like this particular one, where there was a lack of transparency that left our council members on the back foot and left our public out of the process, I think it's important to have those tough conversations with city management during the report card times to say, hey, this is a fault that y'all made. And if we keep seeing things like this, it's going to come with some serious consequences. And so I'm talking with other council members, too, to be more collaborative on that and saying, what is the vision that we're looking for altogether? How can we make sure that our city management and our city departments are working in the effective way as well? I think that's the way that we're going to have to really hold these folks accountable.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're having a debate as part of our series of debates with candidates in the runoffs for San Antonio's municipal election. The runoff is going to be on June 7th, and this is with Kellyanne Gonzalez and Rick Galvan, and they are the candidates in District 6. If you have a question for the candidates, you can call in 833-877-8255. And let's go to Brad on the phones. And Brad, hey, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'd like to revisit the comments that were made earlier about the economics of District 6 and the city and the poverty rate. And I'd like each of the candidates to share their thoughts about why, after 30 years, the poverty rate in San Antonio hasn't budged, even with 30 years of progressive pro-equity leadership. And the talking points about education and small businesses and so forth are all great talking points, but we've heard them for decades. And yet the poverty rate hasn't changed. And when we hear about economic development, we hear about entrepreneur trips to Mexico and all sorts of small ball kinds of solutions. And I'm wondering if, like the national politics, we need some type of a reset in our thinking about how we're going to shift the poverty rate here.
All right. So let's go first 2 minutes to Rick Galvan for that.
Yeah, thank you for the question. I think you're absolutely hitting the nail on the head, right? We've seen a lot of promises made to all of our communities, not only District 6, but throughout our city, on this next big project is going to save our city and save our economy and eliminate poverty all in one big shot. And unfortunately, it hasn't worked that way, right? What we've seen is some positive trends, right? We've seen a consistent stable rate. It's fortunate and unfortunate that our poverty rates can stay consistent. It hasn't grown, right? So that's one positive. But it is concerning that we're seeing the same kind of neighborhoods and same areas, as well as in some of our growing areas, too, now experiencing more and more poverty, too. And so the ways that we go about that, I think, has been troubling in the past, looking at whether it's been tourist economy focused or it's been massive stadium deals that haven't panned out, instead of really investing in our working families. And when I say that, I think about making sure that the tax incentives that we give to some of these large corporations or the largest businesses coming into our city actually have teeth in them, right? And that comes from city council policy. Instead of just saying, here's the whole barn, take it away and go for it, we say, hey, okay, also we need to make sure that we're hiring local, at least 50% of the workforce. We need to make sure that you're also paying living wages at this particular rate. We need to make sure that you're paying good benefits too. And working, in city council, we were able to do that actually just earlier this year, working with different labor unions, including the construction industry folks in La Una and CWA and communication workers. We were able to really pass some policies that do that kind of work. It's going to take some time, of course. That's one piece of the puzzle, right? Then it's looking at actually, like you mentioned, are we actually just talking about doing this, or are we putting our money where our mouth is, right? Investing in our public education system comes with some dollars. Investing with small businesses comes with some serious dollars and not just kind of one-time programs that expire, but instead looking at a long-term of how we can scale up some of these small businesses in our city so they can really expand their operations and support our local economy. Those are the ways that I really view this, is really making sure we're putting our money where our mouth is and investing in a different way.
All right, Kellyanne Gonzalez, Brad's question was about rethinking, breaking the mold, coming up with some innovative answers to deal with the multi-generational problem of poverty that we have in San Antonio, and you have 2 minutes.
I think the key part of that question is multi-generational. We have families that have just not advanced economically for reasons that are far beyond our understanding, because if we understood them, we would have solved them by now. And I will tell you, as somebody who is born and raised here in San Antonio, sometimes it's really hard to feel that it's not by design, because we have been tackling this problem over and over and over, and it has not gotten better. And I think part of the problem is that you have a city council that is passing policies, that is passing proposals, and they themselves have never actually gone through the programs that they are passing and advocating for. And so I am a proud graduate of the Ready to Work program. I completed the pharmacy technician certification in 2021 after I lost my job during COVID. And although I was very thankful for the program, I saw a lot of problems in it. And one of the big problems is, even though that program is for workforce development, it is preparing people to go into jobs that pay about $50,000 on the high end. And that's too much to qualify for any of the assistance programs, but not enough to actually be able to pay for your own childcare. And so the fact of the matter is, $50,000 to $60,000 used to be enough in San Antonio 5 years ago. It's not now. And I think that also, looking at the pictures of the lines of people in San Antonio that were lining up at the food banks during COVID, so many people in San Antonio were just one paycheck away from disaster, from needing those assistance programs ourselves. And so when we're talking about addressing these issues, we need to bring the people that are facing those issues into the conversation to come up with solutions that are actually going to work. Because it's in the numbers. Whatever we have been doing has not been working.
All right. So let me follow up on that. Kelly Gonzalez, you will go first with this 2 minute response. But in the coming years, we're anticipating a smaller budget for the city of San Antonio. There will be budget cuts. Simultaneously, the federal government is cutting food programs, SNAP programs, rent subsidy programs, money for libraries and other services, public health programs from the federal government. The federal government's not going to pay for vaccinations anymore, apparently. So where do you cut? Where do you find additional dollars in order to maintain the status quo while trying to also break this multi-generational problem of poverty?
You know, when we're talking about our city budget, one of the things that doesn't get discussed about often is our city employee time. And I view city council members as being city employees as well, because we are also paid with the public's tax dollars. So is our city staff. And so we need to be making sure that we are making full use of our time to be as efficient as possible as city council members, and that we are listening to the concerns that our city employees are bringing up and the opportunities that they bring to us on how to be more efficient with their time at work, more efficient with the city services that they provide. The other part of that is I don't want to see budget cuts to any programs that are essential here in San Antonio. And what I mean by essential is programs that are keeping families housed, programs that are offering that economic and workforce development, because without education, families cannot rise out of poverty. Without those opportunities, families will not rise. And so I really think it's going to be on us to get really creative these next few years for how we continue to fund those programs. If elected, one of the first things that me and my team are going to do is attend grant writing courses, because even though the federal tax dollars are being pulled back in a lot of places, there are still a lot of nonprofits, still a lot of organizations that are offering grants to be able to fill in those gaps in our communities. And so, I think we're going to have to get really creative and also address the fact of the matter is our city has been operating at a deficit for the last 4 or 5 years. We were bailed out by the ARPA funds, but those funds have dried up. And so now we're back to the real reality of the problem, that the way that we have been budgeting and dispersing our finances in our city, it's just not working. And so we need to address that head on.
All right. And now you have 2 minutes for your response, Rick Galvan.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a tough conversation for either of us to get elected, and I think for all the folks that are coming in too. Budget season will be hitting us right as we get inaugurated into this city council, and so understanding how to take that on is going to be a really big piece of work that we're going to have to take on. I'm happy to have been able to have worked through multiple budget cycles and really work on how we make sure that we're getting these investments in for our communities, but those budget cycles were times where we had some more money coming in. Now it's looking at this big deficit and trying to figure out how do we make sure that our libraries are still functioning well? How do we make sure that infrastructure is getting completed? Are the projects getting completed? How do we make sure that our parks are still up to code and up to speed and also getting improved? All those pieces are things that we cannot sacrifice when facing this big dilemma of what our budget deficit looks like, especially when our current economy for our working families is tough. And we don't want to make it harder for our folks to really enjoy the quality of life, to afford to live in our city, and to feel safe in our communities too. And so a couple of the ways that I've been thinking about making sure that we're addressing some of these budget deficits is looking at some of our key spending. And one of the things that, or a couple of the ways that we do some of our big spending in our city is, one, giving some major property tax abatements and also major development subsidies and corporate subsidies to multi-million dollar projects, sometimes even hundreds of millions of dollars worth of subsidies. And we pull those things back. Of course, there's going to be some cost benefits for all those pieces. But I think it's important that we're pulling up some of those hundreds of millions of dollars back into our revenue fund rather than looking at some of the $10 million that we can cut or $100,000 that we can cut from our city services that our folks rely on. That's, I think, a better way of using our tax dollars. Instead, looking at ways that we can generate more revenue to really compensate for those pieces is going to be another piece, too. But ultimately, that's the way I view it, is looking at some of these major subsidies that we give out, especially to some of these sprawling developments outside 1604 that only increase our need for infrastructure services, increase our need for fire and police substations out there, and increase the need for utility generation. So I think all those pieces have to come together, and we can't just do a one-pronged approach.
All right, so we just heard about San Antonio, particularly District 6, has a lot of needs, and they need to be tackled, and the budget for the city will be contracting for a number of reasons, the loss of federal dollars, also state dollars, and possibly a contracting economy. Simultaneously, the city of San Antonio, along with Bexar County, they're planning a multi-billion dollar project called Project Marvel, which will be a new Spurs arena along with the entertainment center, facilities around the downtown. So, Rick Galvan, do you think that San Antonio can afford a Project Marvel? When the San Antonio says this is not going to be tax dollars, there's still going to be lots of infrastructure needs for a project like that. That means those dollars will not be flowing to the districts like District 6. Instead, they're going to be going towards supporting, you know, this Project Marvel. So where are you? What questions do you have? What conditions would you put down for support of a Project Marvel?
Yeah, thank you for the question. Yeah, it's no secret that I'm very skeptical about this this big project. You know, I think we look at some of the major economic studies that have been done for generations already about major subsidies going to stadium deals and other kinds of similar entertainment districts throughout our country. And what we typically see is that we don't see a massive return on investment that's always promised. We see some, but ultimately it kind of continues to fade. And 20 years later, we ask for another stadium, and then it continues to go and scale over and over and over again, and leading to little to no actual economic generation there. And so I think that's where it leaves me skeptical initially. But beyond that, it is that budget deficit we're facing. It is the bond needs that we're going to need, too, for our housing needs, for our infrastructure, for our public safety needs, for our parks, for our libraries. All those things that we passed in 2022 cost less in a bond package than what we're looking at for this Project Marvel one. And so I really want to see from city staff, how is this going to impact our bond conversations for the actual everyday needs for our working families and for our communities? If we keep taking on more of this debt, what is that going to look like for looking on taking debt to actually address some of these major underlying concerns that our folks have in their neighborhoods? And then when we talk about, you know, public dollars being spent, I know, of course, we just the city council just passed the policy on the state tax revenue to use more of the state tax funds to fund this project. But we also are looking at still at TERS programs and other kinds of city taxes that is still our public dollars for our city services that would normally be going to our general fund and instead being diverted over here. And so I have major concerns with using that money for this project, as well as using our city services over there too. And we already have a lot of investment in downtown. I think that, of course, we need to do a little bit of both, but this seems like a heavy imbalance. And I think about a lot with our safe officers too, in our neighborhoods that are pulled away to go downtown instead to direct traffic at the Alamo Dome or other stadiums. What is that going to look like for this one, too?
All right. Kellyanne Gonzalez, tell us about your views on Project Marvel. What conditions would have to be put in place in order to get your support?
You know, we're having a lot of conversations about Project Marvel, but I feel like one of the things that gets left behind in that conversation is what's going to happen with Nelson Wolf Stadium, because that's right in District 6. It is also moving. And so when we're talking about economic development, it can't just be about economic development downtown. We need to be talking about all the opportunities that we have in the city. And so my thoughts on Project Marvel right now, it's a really great vision. You know, it's a complete vision of redeveloping a whole area instead of just placing a stadium smack dab in the middle of somewhere and hoping that that development eventually comes. But I haven't seen any hard numbers on how this is actually going to be funded. There's a lot of talks about how it could be funded, but without seeing hard numbers, I have a really hard time making a decision. And then the other part of the conversation that we're not having with Project Marvel is it's not just our finances and our money that's going to be going into that project. It's also going to be city council time. It's also going to be staff time. And so the reality is we're talking about making this a priority and putting all of our city resources behind it. And is that where what we need to be doing right now in this time where so many families are facing economic uncertainty? In this time where we are facing a severe deficit, in this time where a lot of federal funding is being cut, is this really what our priority needs to be as a city? I think is the question, because if it does go through, it is going to take up conversations in city council for the next 7 years. I mean, I've already been talking to some city workers in different departments. It's already taking up a lot of time in conversations in the different departments talking about it. And right now, it's still just a proposal. So I think that's the real question. Is this where our priority needs to be? And I haven't been shown anything that actually benefits the city to say that, yes, this should be our priority.
Well, voters will have their say. If, you know, voters should turn out for these runoff elections and they could decide whether they want a Project Marvel or not. That's up to them. Let's go to a caller. The number is 833-877-8255. And Ray, thanks for calling in. Ray, you're on the air.
Thank you. Each candidate has received several endorsements. And I just want to know, how do you feel those endorsements will help you deliver on the needs of District 6 residents? Thank you.
All All right. Thank you for that. So, Kellyanne Gonzalez, talk about some of your endorsements. Which ones are you proud of, and how do you think they will inform voters?
I am proud of every single endorsement that I have gotten, and I have been very open and transparent about every single endorsement. I have been endorsed by Councilwoman Melissa Cabello-Haverda, former County Judge Nelson Wolf, the first Latina on City Council, Maria Berrio Sabal, former District 7 Councilwoman Rosie Castro. I have been endorsed by the letter carriers Alamo Branch 421, by the United Steelworkers here in San Antonio. I have been endorsed by the Stonewall Democrats of San Antonio, by the Bexar County Young Democrats, by Rise AAPI. And I'm very proud of all those endorsements. Also, I have been endorsed by former 124 State Rep. Ina Minjarez, who herself is a District 6 resident. And so being endorsed by all of these people that have been great leaders in their community, as well as people that have been leaders in District 6, it's a very good feeling. Because for Melissa and for Ina, they're not just trusting me with their endorsement and with their name, they are actually trusting me with their vote. They see me as the best person to be the next leader for District 6, you know, in this four-year term. In, you know, all the things that we are facing nationally, they understand that we need someone that is going to be strong, someone that is going to be a voice for the community, and someone whose primary agenda and concerns is that of people that actually live within District 6.
All right. And now let's go to Rick Galvan. Can you talk about your endorsements? Which ones are you proud of? How would that inform voters?
Yeah. Thank you for the question. And I'm really proud of all the endorsements that we've been able to gain as a first-time candidate, also a young candidate, but someone with a lot of experience as well, working at City Council and serving as a neighborhood leader. I'm really proud to have the endorsements of all the neighboring council members that border District 6 because of their trust and their confidence in working well with me, if elected, to deliver for our shared Westside communities, thinking about both sides of Callahan, both sides of Marbach, both sides of Old Highway 90 and Commerce, all these ways that we can really work well together to deliver for our folks here in District 6 and throughout our larger city. Beyond that, also my commitment to public education, my commitment to public safety, and my commitment to really representing all of our folks here in District 6 has earned me the support of school board members from both Northside ISD and Edgewood ISD, endorsements from our Precinct 2 Bexar County Constable, Leticia Vasquez, as well as some of our former opponents in the general election, Vanessa Chavez and Lawson Lanise Picasso, who shared different beliefs than I do on some different political issues, but we're able to work together because we see that there's a need for collaborative leadership here in City Council to really work to address all the needs here in our district and throughout our city. And finally, I'm really proud to be endorsed by labor unions across our city, as well as other working class organizations focused on fighting for working families, including the San Antonio AFL-CIO, the City Employees Union, AFSCME Local 2021, the Northside and SISD teachers and staff unions, as well as many of the other organized hospitality workers, communication workers, construction workers throughout our city, who really believe that this council race is going to determine how we can make sure that we are working to deliver for our working families. And so I believe with all those kinds of endorsements that we're able to really work together to not only prove that we're going to be able to fight for our working families every step of the way, but also make sure that we are delivering for all aspects of our city and for the things that impact our communities too.
All right. So Rick Galvan, question for you. 2 minutes to you on this. This is Texas Public Radio, The Source. We're having a candidate debate between the two candidates for District 6 in the June 7th runoff, Kellyanne Gonzalez and Rick Galvan. And so, Rick Galvan, how can you, if you were elected to City Council, what could you do to help families in District 6 stay in their homes amid rising property taxes and development pressure?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the key platform piece of my campaign platform since the beginning has been housing affordability. It's one of the top issues that's been on my mind, as well as been talking with residents in their minds as well, thinking about ways that we can create more housing opportunities for our families, our working families, our seniors, our young families, to really afford to live here in the city that they want to live in. We know we're a growing city, so we want to make sure that we have the availability for folks to be able to afford to live here, no matter what kind of job they have here in our city. Beyond that, it's also making sure that our folks are able to live here in dignity too, right? Making sure that we are expanding our home repair programs and weatherization and conservation programs too for our folks' homes, so they can live healthy and dignified lives in the homes that they've worked hard to live in. And also work to make sure that those utility bills come down a little bit when you get the weatherization conservation program, so they can better make ends meet. Another piece of that is also looking at ways that we are addressing utility rates, right? We're very fortunate here in San Antonio that our city has authority over both SAWS and CPIS Energy. And so when it comes to rate increases, when it comes to impact fee conversations, they have to come to City Council. And so having a City Council person that understands how to work with these two entities as well has a strong platform to making sure that as we continue to grow and we need more investments in our public utilities to keep them secure, we got to make sure that we're also not putting all the heavy burden on our residents. And so those are some of the big ways to do that. Then finally, it's advocating with our state to really address the issues of property taxes, right? Talking about how it's a lot of our school districts that are raising the property taxes on our folks. And it's because of a lack of investment from our state into our public education system. And so working really hard, as I have even done this campaign, to going with Northside AFT and teachers and retired educators and students to advocate this state legislature to invest in our public schools as HB2 is kind of moving through the process right now, is an important way that we have to keep going to really invest in these pieces and lower our property taxes for our folks.
All right. And Kellyanne Gonzalez, how would you help families in District 6 stay in their homes with rising property taxes and development pressure?
Yeah, so I think that some of the things that Rick said are true. We need to make sure that we are investing in our home repair programs and expanding those programs so that more residents in District 6 are able to access that. We need to make sure that we are investing in our weatherization programs. And for those listening who don't know what our weatherization programs are, the city has a partnership with CPS that actually goes out to certain neighborhoods and will weatherize your home, you know, fix any gaps that you have, change out your light bulbs for LED light bulbs, see if you are experiencing any type of, electrical problems that are causing your electricity bill to rise. Because throughout the 5 months that I have been canvassing in the district, I have heard from residents that have to take out loans to pay their utility bills in the summer, people that have to take out loans to pay for their property taxes. And so, yeah, we need to make sure the city has actually lowered our percentage of property taxes over the past few years. But the other part of that is that the Bexar County Appraisal District keeps increasing the appraisals on the homes. And so that's why oftentimes a lot of homeowners aren't seeing that decrease in those property taxes. And so we need to make sure that we are working with all of our governmental entities that impact property taxes. And that does include our school districts as well. A big chunk of the property taxes that people are having to pay are to our school districts, and it is because they are not being fully funded by the state. We have billions of dollars in a rainy day fund in our state, and I think the question is, who calls to say when it's raining? Because I think if you ask the residents of District 6 that are experiencing these high property taxes, it's raining right now. They are very worried about being displaced from their homes. But then the other part of that also, I think, as a city, is being proactive. So currently our 311 service, it's not on the same reporting system as ACS, as code enforcement, as SAPD. So we are not able to see what households and what families are experiencing this increase in calls. And we're not able to get to these families.
Okay. All right. So I'm watching the clock in order to hit our time to get out of here in time and give you closing arguments. I'm going to make this question and answer just 1 minute, if I can get a response from you in 1 minute. What can be done to improve public safety in District 6, Kellyanne Gonzalez?
Well, I'm going to continue with what yes. I was saying earlier. So our 311 call system, so many people have used it before. It's not on the same operating system as ACS, as code enforcement, as SAPD. So we actually had to create a whole other department, the Integrated Community Services Department, to be able to have all of that information in one place. And the reason that that's important is because there might be a house which houses a family that is getting code enforcement calls from their neighbors, that's getting those ACS calls, that is getting SAPD called out to them. And as a city, we are not able to see all of that information in real time in one place so that we can get to that family before their lights get shut off, before their water gets shut off, before they get started in that eviction process. And so that is one way that we can tackle public safety is information, making sure that we have access to that information in one place. Another thing that we can do for public safety, I think, is improve the relationship, repair the relationship between our police and our communities.
All right. And now we have 1 minute for Rick Galvan. What would you do to improve public safety in the District 6?
Yeah, one of my top three priorities since campaigning back in December is that we have been really pushing for in our campaign a holistic public safety system here in our city, making sure that we are supporting our first responders every step of the way, make sure they have the resources they need to really respond effectively and quickly to emergencies happening in our communities. But so, too, looking at ways that we expand you know, services like animal care services, our mental health resources, as well as our violence interrupted teams like Stand Up SA, to really address the underlying root causes of crime and violence in our communities and really address the cycles that they can kind of create sometimes. And so identifying ways that we can do both those pieces are going to be important to make sure that we're really addressing not only stopping the bleeding when it's happening here in our communities, but also looking at the back end and making sure that we're addressing these issues long term so they don't continue to happen over and over again. And that includes working with workforce development, education, and addressing homelessness too.
All right, now we go to our closing statement from our two candidates, Kellyanne Gonzalez and Rick Dalvan. Kellyanne, you're going to be able to go first with 1 minute for your closing statement.
Yeah, so, you know, we have 4-year terms now. That is going to give the incoming city council member that comes into District 6 a real opportunity to carry out a true vision for our district. And I think it is important that we are electing a true working class champion with the lived experience to advocate for the forgotten, to advocate for those of us that are often overlooked, and for those of us that have never had a playing field. And my story is the story of so many people in District 6. I have made it this far on my own merits, on my own work. I am a hard worker. I started working at 10 years old at my family's restaurant. I am no stranger to hard work. I am no stranger to being in this fight. I have been at the forefront, not behind a desk. I love my community, never run for office before, but I just want the best for our district, and I am prepared to fight for that. Thank you.
All right, and now we have 1 minute for Rick Dalvan to give his closing statement, and you're on the clock. Go ahead.
Thank you, David, and thank you again for hosting us today to have this important conversation right before early voting starts on May 27th. My name is Rick Galvan, and I am running for City Council District 6 because District 6 is my home. I was born and raised here in the Piper's Meadow neighborhood, had the honor to be able to be a neighborhood leader in the area that I grew up in, came from a working class background with a preschool, single mom who is a preschool teacher here in District 6. I understand what it means to really try to make ends meet, to try to afford healthcare needs in our city, and to work really hard to make sure that we get where we need to go. I'm a proud graduate of our Northside ISD Public Schools, graduating from Holmes High School, and then going on to UT Austin to earn my bachelor's degree. And I believe that, you know, as we look forward into 2030, for these next 4 years, we need someone at City Council who has the experience to get these things done. And I'm proud to have that experience, and I'm committed to making sure that we all feel safe at home, that we can afford to live here in our city, and that we're proud of the neighborhoods that we call home. Thank you.
Rick Galvan and Kellyanne Gonzalez are the two candidates in the runoff for District 6 for San Antonio City Council. One of them will be on council. It's up to you, the voters, to get out there and vote. Every vote matters, especially in these runoff elections. That early voting begins on Tuesday, May 27th, continues through June 3rd, and with Election Day on June 7th. We're going to be having on Monday the candidates for mayor, Gina Ortiz-Jones and Rolando Pablos, joining us. And again, you'll be able to call in with your questions for the two candidates. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you so much for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp carrier dedicated to handling claims proactively and a commitment to helping injured employees and workers' comp policyholders get back to business. TexasMutual.com/claims.